right. Well, welcome back, everyone, to the All Things Croatia podcast. I'm here with Jay Webb, known as Jay Webby. He's an Australian competitive eater with Croatian roots. He's ranked number one in Australia and number five in the world. As you can see, his food challenges on social media with almost 2 million TikTok followers and almost 100,000 Instagram followers. Really awesome to have him here with us today. James, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, super excited. And I know I was just talking to you before we started recording. You just did another challenge today and definitely want to get in to the competitive eating stuff and how that, you know, came about and what that consists of. But, you know, first of all, if you can sort of introduce yourself, you know, where you're from, and then talk a little bit about your Croatian heritage.
Okay, so I'm James. Online, people know me as Jay Webby or Jay Webby Can Eat. I do some crazy, pretty ridiculous food challenges. I'm from Australia. My mother is Croatian. My father's actually from England, but my dad never really had family. So I grew up only knowing my Croatian side of the family, my baba, my dodo, you know, cousins, things like this. So actually my baba is still alive. She speaks very broken English. So to communicate with her, you have to at least understand Croatian for the most part. You know, she's getting on, she's almost 90. So like, it's half English, half Croatian at the best of times, you know? So I've always grown up, around my Croatian side of my family, my mom, my uncle, they're fluent. It's kind of like funny story. Like when my mom doesn't want my dad to know something or whatever, she kind of speaks in Croatian, you know, like just kind of like family jokes and stuff like that. But I'm from Sydney, Australia, and I have a Croatian mom, and she's master chef, man. I was very blessed growing up. I had a baba and a mom that, man, they can cook a house fire. So like, that's where it all started for me.
I believe it, man. Yeah, same for me as well. And that's awesome that your baba is still alive and you're still able to speak with her. You mentioned, you know, understanding Croatian. Is that sort of what your Croatian is at, that you're a little bit better at understanding than speaking, or what?
Yeah, look, so when I was younger, I think from the ages of when I was small until I was about 5 or 6, we actually kind of all lived together as a family. So I was fluent. When my mother, I've got a little brother, he's not so little anymore, but like my younger brother, he's 3 years younger than me. When he was being born, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and I'd go visit my mom in the hospital and I would be speaking Croatian to her. I think as I got older, I lost confidence. Obviously English being my first language, I have like an Aussie accent or a twang, however you want to call it. So like, you know, my family wouldn't make fun of me, but you know, they'll kind of pick holes in like the accent. And I think as I got older, I just spoke it less. Maybe it was a confidence thing. Where I'm from in Sydney, predominantly like I went to like a white boy school. So there was no other Croatians or many other ethnics anyway. So like, I suppose I kind of just lost practice, but it's funny, like when I've got to do it, I can do it. My baba is, she's in a nursing home. She's not well, she's pretty old. She's, you know, basically paralyzed. So when we go speak to her, and you know, I guess when they get to that age, they can be a bit, you know, they get hysterical, and you know, to calm her down, you got to understand what she wants. And you know, one minute she's speaking English, next minute it's like the fastest Croatian you could understand. So I guess when it's like life is on the line, I could do it. But I suppose my brain just opts for English every single time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like in a lot of like Croatian diaspora and a lot of other countries abroad, you know, Australia, Canada, US, for the English speaking countries, at least, just because that's what I know. It's sort of the same way, you know, that it's, and everyone else speaks English and you want to fit in, and you know, you're speaking English. So it's different. You know, I always was the same way. Like I grew up, you know, Croatian family, and you know, being proud of that, but like never grew up speaking the language. And it only was like the last maybe 5-6 years that I really like wanted to make a conscious effort to like learn it. And so I actually ended up going to Croatia and living there a couple of years in Zagreb and trying to learn the language and stuff, which was cool. But yeah, definitely it takes effort. I mean, it's a tough language to learn.
Yeah, and they speak so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What part were your, so is your baba that moved over?
Yeah, so my baba and dida moved. They escaped during the war a long, long time ago. But they lived in Zadar. and they made their way across a few refugee camps, literally arriving to Australia on the boat. So they were pretty well traveled, but yeah, they were from Zadar.
Have you ever been back there?
I never have. So I actually I had a trip planned, and that's when COVID kind of thing. And I always planned to go back, but during COVID is when this competitive eating thing started and took a massive sidetrack.
Well, yeah, I know Australia was real strict too. You guys were basically, you couldn't leave the country for a couple of years.
Yeah, but, we were locked inside for a long, long time, and you kind of just did what you had to do to kind of keep yourself occupied and sane, I guess.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that's how it started. I didn't realize it started only that recently. How did you get into competitive eating?
Yeah, so look, my first ever food challenge was actually the 3rd of May, 2021. And that was about probably a month before the whole COVID craziness. But my wife, so I don't drink alcohol. That's a personal preference. Just I never found alcohol enjoyable. My wife wanted to go to a winery about 3 hours from where we live in Sydney. So to bribe me to go, she planned like a day trip of eating. So it would end up, you know, we went to this pub and then the fudge factory, then the cheese factory, and then we'll go to the winery. So I get what I want, and then she gets what she wants, sort of. But we got to the pub, and it was a very white Australian pub in a small country town, and they had a big burger. And I was kind of making jokes like, oh, it's cool, whatever. And the owner was like, nah, that's Australia's biggest burger. Like, no one's ever going to eat it. And I'm the kind of guy, don't tell me I can't do something. Like, I'm gonna at least try, right? My wife just looks at me and she's just like, no. By the way, I'm the only ethnic. My wife is Australian. I'm the only ethnic in this white Australian little town. It's like one street long. And then I'm like, yo, I'm gonna eat this burger. And my wife's just like, oh no. Anyway, I ate the burger. Australia's biggest burger. I won the prize money. So every time someone failed, the owner would chuck $10 in the piggy bank. 60 people failed, $600 prize money. I'm like, sweet. So I took the prize money. I took a photo with the owner. I went and spent like $300 of that money on fudge. I went to the fudge factory. Then we went to the winery and I paid for the wine tour and whatever else. Went home, thought nothing of it. But in the meantime, the news had circulated of man from Western Sydney conquered Australia's biggest burger and whatnot. By the next day, I was all over the news. And funnily enough, my bubba, who doesn't really understand much English, saw me on the morning news. And she rang my mum. And she's like, what's Jamie done? Is he in trouble? Like, he's on the news. My mum's ringing me. It's like 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday. I'm like, mum, what's wrong? She's like, bubba said you're on the news. What have you done? I'm like, man, I'm in bed. Like, what do you mean? Anyway, turn the TV on. Lo and behold, man from Western Sydney has conquered Australia's biggest burger. I'm like, that's friggin' awesome. That's so much cool. My friends were texting me. I'm like, this is so awesome, right? Again, but I thought nothing of it. I'm like, yeah, cool. 5 minutes of fame. Like, that's cool. The next day, my phone was blowing up. Radio, newspaper. I didn't know newspapers still existed. Magazines, you know, podcasts, all this stuff. And I was getting messages from other competitive eaters. And they're like, hey man, like, you're really good at this. We want to meet you. And I rolled right back, what the hell is this? And who the hell is we? And what are you talking about? Anyway, there's like a secret society. I wear it on my shirt, Competitive Eating Australia. In Australia, you know, food influencers, competitive eaters. There's a whole league. They have a secret Facebook group. I got invited to this secret Facebook group. And they're talking about me because a newspaper article got released and whatever. And I was not really on social media. My Instagram, I probably had 10 followers, 2 photos, my sneaker collection and a half naked gym selfie. Like, that would have been it, right? And I didn't know this, but one of the guys from my gym, you know, you see people in the gym, you kind of give them the nod, like, you know each other, but you don't know each other. Turns out he was the second best competitive eater in the country and one of Australia's biggest food influencers with like 500,000 followers. Because I wasn't in social media, I had no idea, right? I knew him as the guy from the gym that wore hamburger socks, like novelty hamburger socks. That's all I knew him by, right? We'd give each other the nod. Anyway, so they're like talking about this article. There's like 150 comments on this article. I'm like, oh, that's me. That's kind of cool. And this guy, Jesse, he's like, I know this guy. He goes to my gym. Anyway, comes up to me at the gym. He's like, dude, like, you're a weapon. Like, we want to meet you. Like, we want to come, like, do challenges with you and whatever else. I'm like, I got no idea what you're talking about. So this was on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
He said, listen, on Thursday, there's a burger contest. We're all going to be there. I'm like, who the hell's we? Anyway, I'm like, I'll come. I love burgers. Turned up to this burger contest. It was about 30 minutes from my work, my day job. Went to this burger contest. And by the way, I had never filmed content before, never seen a tripod, let alone a microphone or a ring light or whatever, right? Anyway, so this, like, I walked into the restaurant. I was a little bit early. This entourage of people came in. Cameras, phones, tripods, you name it. And I'm just kind of sitting there. They're like, hey, James, nice to meet you. And I'm like, how the hell do you know who I am? Anyway, the 10 of us, burger contest, we all kind of lined up. The food comes out. I'm like, sweet, I'm hungry. They're like, no, don't touch anything. We've got to take photos and do introductions. And like, do you mind if you jump in my intro and all this stuff? I'm like, what? I'm like, all right, whatever. Anyway, contest starts. I wipe the floor. To this day, my record still stands. 1:59 for a 1 kilo burger and 1 kilo fries.
Wow.
The closest guy to me finished in 6 minutes, right?
Jeez.
And these were all ranked pro eaters in Australia, right? So after this contest, we kind of hung around at the restaurant. Again, I got my prize money. I was like, this is kind of cool. They kind of sat me down, like interrogation style. They like cornered me. And they're like, listen, dude, you're really good at this. You need to start making videos and do challenges. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, sure. They wrote me a list. And at the time, I went home and I'm like, they're having a laugh. Like, this is bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so every day for 2 weeks, I went and did a food challenge on the list. And I just knocked them off one by one, right? And like I said to you, I wasn't really on social media. So I never posted anything or anything, right? Anyway, about 2 weeks later, I commented on a Facebook group. I'm like, hey guys, like, that was pretty fun. Like, I've done all the challenges. Like, is there any more? And one of the guys pipes up and goes, you're a liar. I'm like, wait, what? I didn't know, but in the YouTube world, people like edit and cut and shut videos and cheat, right? So it looks like they eat massive food, but they don't actually eat it, right? So I'm like, what are you talking about? So it turns out I ate this pizza challenge. It's very famous in Sydney where we live. It's 27 inches by 27 inches square. Three people, 30 minutes to eat it. I did it by myself with like 5 seconds to spare, right? And everyone's like, that's bullshit. You didn't do it. I'm like, what? Anyway, me being me, don't call me a liar. So the next day, I went back to that pizza shop, ordered the same pizza, and I got my phone. I had one of those Samsung flip phones, and I flipped it like halfway up and leant it against the napkin holder on selfie mode, right? I had no idea what I was doing. Anyway, I ate the pizza this time in like 27 minutes. And then me being the fool, not knowing anything, I tried to upload this 27-minute video to Facebook. It took 3 days.
Oh,
it took
God.
3 days. But I did it to prove a point to these guys in the group. And they're like, oh my God, like, what the hell? Anyway, by this time, I had kind of gotten chatting to a couple of the lads in Sydney. And we kind of became friends and whatever. And Scotty, who's actually my best friend now, one of my closest buddies, right? He's like, dude, you got to learn how to edit. Like, you don't post a 27-minute long video. I'm like, man, I literally had to Google how to upload it. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Anyway, so he's like, dude, just keep making videos, man. Like, shit's going to happen for you. I'm like, dude, I got work to do. Like, I got a day job, right? Kind of left it at that. And then COVID happened. So, you know, it was actually a Saturday. Funnily enough, I got invited to another burger contest and it was a Saturday afternoon. But in Australia, what happened was there was like a news bulletin. And it was across, like we're just driving in the car and the radio like cuts out. It's the government saying it's lockdown, like COVID, you know, the apocalypse is coming, everyone go home, right? So we kind of turned the car around and just went home. And we literally couldn't leave our houses, like from that news bulletin, right? So I was working from home, like on Zoom, and then I was bored as hell. And, you know, it was a crap time for everyone, right? So my wife is like, you want to make some TikTok videos, like as a joke? I'm like, okay. And because at the time, so I used to be into bodybuilding. So I was jacked as hell, right? I was ripped. I was in good shape. And it was summertime. So I love to cook. I was cooking dinner at home. And as a joke, I had an apron on with no shirt on, right? So my wife's like filming me with this apron and whatever else. And the videos kind of started picking up and I started doing cooking videos. I started doing eating videos, like home, like living room challenges and just dumb stuff like that, right? Before you know it, TikTok is like skyrocketing. I'm getting messages from like random restaurants saying, can we send you food and you give us a shout out and all this stuff? I'm like, okay. And throughout lockdown, I just made friends with a few other competitive eaters. We started doing like live streams, you know, we'd get Uber Eats, McDonald's and like smash a Big Mac as fast as we can, like against each other. Me and Scotty did some dumb shit. Like we got like a box of like sour warheads and see how many we could eat in half an hour. Just like stupid stuff, right? Just to pass the time. And then I'll never forget this. So in Australia, it was like the 1st of June, right? And the government announced on the 10th of June, it's Freedom Day. Everyone go back to work. Everyone go back to life. And it was Freedom Day. Like everything was suddenly normal, right? I'm like, mad. Back to work, right? I had, I promise you, every restaurant in Sydney messaging me, trying to book me in for a food challenge at their restaurant.
Wow.
And I'm like, is this real life? Anyway, so I kind of went along with a few of them. And I went to, there was a local Lebanese restaurant called Two Brothers. Obviously, it's owned by two brothers, right? And they invited me down. It was a Friday night. They're like, bring your wife. We've got belly dancing. We got this. We've got that. We'll give you a banquet. I'm like, okay, cool. Friday night, first week back at work. Went and got a banquet. Had a mad time. Anyway, me being me, like we ate, like obviously we ordered a banquet for two. They definitely didn't give us a banquet for two. Like they gave us the whole farm. Like it was huge. And I went to pay the bill. Like I just went, my wife had a glass of wine. I went to go pay the bill, as you do. And the two brothers were at the counter and I'm like giving my card, my debit card. And they're kind of like looking at each other like, what the, right? And the younger sister kind of pushed them out of the way and hands me this envelope. And I'm like, the fuck? And she goes, this is for you. I'm like, seriously? They're like, yeah, man. I'm like, okay. So out of like pure reflex, I took the envelope, said thank you. I turned around, bolted. Like I walked straight past my wife. Like I left her at the table and went and sat outside of the restaurant on a bench, right? And she's like, what are you doing, you idiot? What's wrong with you? And I'm full like shaking, right? This envelope has money in it, like cash money, right? And I'm like, babe, like, I don't know what just happened, but I went to go pay the bill and they gave me this. She's like, you got to call Scott. So Scott is the guy I'm close with and we kind of got talking and he pretty much said to me like months ago, your life's going to change, right? I'm like, Scott, explain to him the whole story. He started laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? Like, I need help. Like, what the hell? He's like, I told you your life is going to change. He's like, listen to me now. He's like, this is what you're going to do. He's like, tomorrow you're going to open up a business bank account. You're going to buy a good camera. You're going to make up a logo and get some t-shirts printed. I'm like, okay. He's like, no, this time you're going to listen to me, right? So my wife went home that night and designed my logo. She's pretty creative. She got some t-shirts printed for me. I went and made a business and did all this. Started making videos. My wife learned how to edit, like legitimately learned how to edit. She's very clever. And within 4 weeks, I was making more money from food challenges, like skipping out on my lunch break, doing food challenges and dinners and whatever, than my full-time wages, right?
Wow.
And then I did a contest in Australia, like a like competitive eating Australia, like a sanctioned contest with like all around, like from eaters from all around Australia, right? And I won and I broke the Australian record. And then the Americans, the Major League Eating contacted me, right? And, you know, Americans being Americans, they're kind of like, no Australian has ever had the courage to compete with us, blah, 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 blah. My wife's like, oh, shit. All right. I'm like, we're going to America, right? Anyway, booked flights, got accepted into the contest, everything. Went to work the next day to my boss. I'm like, hey, boss, I need a week off. I'm going to America. He's like, why? I go, I'm going to go compete. He's like, no. Nah. I'm like, no. He's like, I'm not giving you time off. I walked out of the office. I called my wife. I'm like, babe, like, we can't go. She's like, what do you mean we can't go? I go, I'm not getting holidays. She goes, just quit. Like, what do you mean just quit? She's like, well, just quit. Because she's like, you're good at what you do, as if you can't get another job. She's like, what's the worst that can happen? You come back from America and you got to go find another job. I'm like, okay. I walk back into this office. I'm like, I quit. In the meantime, she typed up my resignation letter. And I'm like, why? He's like, you'll be back. All right. We ended up staying in America for 4 weeks because we had nothing else to do, right? I left America with the equivalent of a month's wages.
Wow.
Australia. I left with a professional eating contract with the MLE. I came second and I came fifth in two contests. And I'm the first Australian to ever sign an MLE contract. And from the moment I touched down back into Australia, my life changed forever.
Wow. That is nuts, man. That's a crazy. Yeah, so you went from.
I worked for UFC, you know, the brand, like the fight brand. We opened up like 23 franchises in Australia. I was in corporate. I have an economics degree. Like, there's a braid in here somewhere. But now I eat food in front of a camera. And 3 years later, this is my third year now, about to renew my contract with the MLE. I'm ranked number 5 in the world. I've got 6 world records. I've got almost 2 million followers. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, that must feel surreal, man. Like, and that's, I feel like that's such a quick turnaround too, all within 3 years.
Yeah. So, look, it's crazy. Number one, mental. If you told me ever that I'm going to be making food videos or editing videos or social media for a living, I would have laughed in your face. I went to college for 7 years. I'm like, yeah, nah. If you told me I could live a life making food videos, and my wife sold her business. She's a mom now, raises a little one, doesn't work. We travel the world eating food, making videos, doing food contests. I would have laughed in your face, laughed. And then if you would have told me I'm going to be ranked number 5 in the world and has world records, what? Well, there's world records for eating? What are you talking about? But look, I am somehow, I'm really good at this. And now, look, it's like anything. You go to the gym, you lift weights, you want bigger muscles, you want to get stronger. Now I'm just learning how to eat, eating faster, eating better technique, eating more, you know, things like this. And it's a sport. So not only in America and Australia, I'm being flown to Hungary in August. I'm going to be the first foreigner to compete in the professional Hungarian eating league.
Wow.
So it's everywhere. In Japan, it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
In the Middle East, I went to Turkey. Man, Turkey and the UAE, crazy.
Jeez. So,
eating my way around the world.
Yeah. So how many countries have you counted that you've traveled to eat so far?
So, okay, I've smashed Australia. I've been to Turkey. I've been to the UAE and America. Mm-hmm. This year, at the end of this year, August, I'm going to go to Germany and Hungary. And then next year, I want to go to Japan and the UK.
Wow.
So that's
awesome.
You know, but to be honest, last year, 2023, I spent 9 months in America. 1 month in the UAE, 1 month in Turkey. I was only home in Australia for less than 1 month. This year, I've only been home for like, so in my house, I've been home for 3 days.
Oh my God.
So like, I'm always touring. I'm always being flown somewhere, eating, doing crazy stuff. I'm in America now. I get home in August, home for 2 days. And that's only to repack my bag because in Germany, it's going to be freezing. So I need to go home and get rid of my singlets and pack some t-shirts and hoodies and stuff, right? I'm only going home literally to see my family, see my mom, my barber and stuff, my wife, obviously, and pack my bag and bounce.
Wow. So that's a lot of work too, then. That's got to be draining. I mean, both mentally and physically as well.
It is a lot, but look, what I get to call work, I'll never complain. Like, the worst thing about my job, I've got to pee in an airplane toilet. Like, that's the hardest thing about my job. And there's people driving trucks, working in factories, on job sites, you know, in there working in the weather, the rain, the heat, the snow, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in restaurants, I'm at food trucks. I get to travel, meet people, eat food. And I'm like a walking street directory. You tell me, if I've been to that city, I know exactly where to eat. Like, it's crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely life could get a lot worse. That's for sure. You're definitely blessed to be able to do what you're doing. You mentioned earlier the training. I wanted to ask, like, how does that, What does the training look like for competitive eating? And what do you do specifically, I guess?
There's a couple of aspects to it. Look, first and foremost, you've got to be fit. So if you look at the top 10 in the world, we've all come from some kind of sporting background. Out of the top 10, there's an ex-college basketballer. There's two pro current pro bodybuilders. There's an ex-pro powerlifter, an ex. So one of the ladies, she was a swimmer. She quit swimming when she just missed out on the Olympics. So I don't know what that makes you in America, but I'm sure college swimmer, something elite, right? The best eater in the world used to run marathon, like just run, like marathon style running, crazy. So we've all got a kind of discipline. We have to go to the gym, you know. Look, contests are normally in really random places. So we kind of stay in the same hotels or the similar area, right? So the day before, we all see each other at the gym. We're all trying to keep fit. And that's one aspect to it. You've got to be fit. The second aspect, you've got to, okay, let's take the food, for example. So technique training is very important. You know, like a chicken wing contest. You've only got 8 minutes to eat as much chicken as you can. So you've got to learn how to strip the chicken off the bones really quick. Or, you know, for example, let's take hot dogs, the biggest event of the year. You got to learn to separate the hot dog, eat the hot dog while you're dunking the bun. You know, you got to practice your technique. That's very important. And the third aspect is your capacity. You've got to be able to fit the amount of food. Like, take my world records, 13 and a half pounds of fudge in 8 minutes. It's a lot of friggin' fudge, man.
Jeez.
Like, 2.5 pounds is nothing to be sneezed at. But you've got to have that space in your belly to be able to do that. So stretching your stomach is very important. You know, look, you Americans are blessed, man. Buffets. All these crazy ass buffets for like $20. You go and smash food. So, you know, leading into a contest, like let's say the contest is a Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm at a buffet all like until I can't move. Like I'm talking like borderline legitimately passing out, right? Food coma. And then Friday, you don't eat, you just hydrate. So then you kind of let your body relax and obviously pass through. And then Saturday, you're starving as anything, ready to chew your arm off at the contest.
Jeez. So you're not starving yourself for like a week before. You're doing heavy training and then only just one day before the competition, not eating.
Yeah, I know some of the boys, they'll do like 2 days, but you know, 2 days without food, I'll kill someone. Like hanger, man. Like I'll kill someone.
Now, do you think that that's like it's like a talent that you're born with or you just have inherently? Because even before you started training, you were crushing these challenges, and then of course, you're getting better with the training and stuff. Or do you think that's something like you can like take me for an example, just normal eater, normal guy, like would I be able to train myself to do what you do?
Look, I think there's an element of natural ability. Look, I was a fat kid growing up. Like I mentioned, I had a mum and a bubba that their food was ridiculous. You know, at any point in anyone's house in my family, I could go to the fridge and make myself a full-blown meal of leftovers. Like I had man boobs. Like I had boobs bigger than people's heads as a kid, right? So I believe food was ingrained into me from a young age. You know, I was exposed to food, good food. And you know what it's like. You go to Bubba's house, if you're not eating, you're sick. You know, bread, have this, have that, you know? So I believe I was a big eater from a young age. I was really into my soccer. So I used to eat big after soccer, right? And then into bodybuilding, again, you eat big. So I always was a relatively big eater. But I never measured myself and be like, how much do I eat versus how much you eat? I never really thought to do that, right? And then it's like anything. Me, I don't, like, I'll be honest with you, like, I don't have many hobbies. Like, when I quit soccer, I took up the gym. Then all I did was go to the gym. Like, I don't really have, you know, people have like 10 hobbies. No, I do one thing. Now, eating is my thing. I'm like, all right, how do I be elite at eating? You know, like, when I was in the gym, I'm like, how do I get shredded? When I was playing soccer, I was like, how do I be the best? You know? Now I'm just like, I want to be the best eater. So now I train to eat. So I probably had a decent base, but now with training on top of that base, like it's crazy. And you got to be a bit crazy up here. You could train to be a competitive eater, but you know what? Competitive eating is like boxing. Okay? A boxer, an elite athlete, fit as hell, disciplined as hell, loves the sport, trains the house down, puts their body through hell. But on game day, they're going to get punched in the face, right? It's inevitable. It's a part of boxing. You're going to get punched in the face. Now, let me tell you, eating 13 and a half pound of fudge in 8 minutes is like being punched in the face, right? So up here, you're not all, we're not crazy, but we're like gluttons for punishment. You know what I mean? Like, we just love to punish. Like, we want to just push our body to its limits in weird ways, right? So I feel like you could practice to do it, but it's like, how much are you willing to go up here? You know, like, I could tell you I'm full, man, I'm done. Are you full? Are you going to tell yourself, no, like, I want to keep going just for a couple more minutes, right? You know what I mean? Like, that kind of mental aspect, I believe that's the trick to competitive eating. Like, yeah, obviously it's a lot physical, but a lot of it's mental too.
That's an interesting point. I feel like a lot of that carries over to, you know, like weightlifting, bodybuilding, that you have to, you know, embrace the pain, you know, in order to see the results and get bigger. So that's interesting, you know, that probably has helped you in that aspect.
For sure.
So you've done, what do you think, hundreds of challenges by now in these last 3 years? What do you think was the hardest, or what was the hardest one for you and why?
In terms of like quote unquote food challenges, I've got a pretty good record. But now, obviously with social media and my channels and my reach, getting 40 plus million views a month across all my channels, right? So my core business now is not so much food challenges. It's more promotional work for brands and restaurants. So now restaurants use me as like a virtual menu board. Instead of eating their 10 pound or their 5 pound burger that I can do with ease, they're like, how about we just give you our whole menu and you can just promote our whole menu, right? So to be honest, I've done a couple of like, I've tried to take on like 4 people food challenges, like a 20 pound pizza that damn near killed me. I left one spot. I was so annoyed. One day I'll go back and eat that pizza. But now, to be honest, like every other day I'm doing something crazy that's challenging me. You know, I'll do like today I did a barbecue restaurant. They gave me like their family barbecue pack that serves 8 people. So that's a challenge because that's for 8 people, right? It's like 10 pounds, right? Crazy. So like I'm constantly being challenged in that respect these days because it's not a food challenge. It's more of a, it's for a video. It's for a social media, PR, marketing piece. So yeah, but like at the same time, that's helping me prepare for a contest because it's strict. Rather than having to go to a buffet, I've got 10 pounds of barbecue in front of me and a stopwatch. I'm going to use this as my training, right? So I've done a few crazy things. Like I've tried to eat whole menus of restaurants, you know, 20 pound pizzas. I tried to eat, eat Australia's largest burger, which was 9.5 kilos, jeez, which is over 20 pounds of burger. I tried to, failed miserably. I ate about 15 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, look, I've done some crazy things. And look, yeah, it all kind of falls under the food challenge bracket. But a lot of it is just customized for me to make a funny video from.
That makes sense. Yeah. But it also doubles as your training, like you said. And you mentioned the hot dog eating contest, which is big here in the US for sure. And there's, I'd say, like 2 household names in competitive eating for people like that don't even follow that or watch that. But everyone in the US knew, you know, Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut. And on that topic, I wanted to ask if you have any sort of people that you looked up to either in the competitive eating space or just athletes in general who you sort of had as role models.
Yeah. So look, let's talk about competitive eating first. When I first discovered competitive eating and I started like watching film and video and YouTube and whatnot, Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut, they are the goats. They are the goats, right? When it came to hot dogs, no one's matching them. They're in a league of their own. I've actually beaten Joey Chestnut in a couple of contests.
Wow, really?
But hot dogs, different animal. He's a beast when it comes to hot dogs, right? So, man, as an eater, to compete against Joey, look, to be the best, you got to compete with the best and get your ass kicked by the best. That's how you learn. Joey has tailed me up more times than I can imagine. But now I've beaten him 4 times in other things, not hot dogs. So he's kicked my ass 2 years in a row at the hot dog contest. This year, I want to match it. Like, I want to give him a run and see how close I can go. Knowing what I know now, he's been doing this for 20 years. I'm in my 3rd year. Experience is everything, right? So I want to see how much I match up against him. But whether I get beaten by him, lose to him, even if I beat him in any contest, it's respect. He's the GOAT, right? So obviously look up to Joey. He's a beast, man. He was one of the first to turn eating into a career and make money from it, right? So of course, look up to him. Before that, I was really into my bodybuilding. You know, a lot of elite bodybuilders when I first started, showing my age now, I'm 35. So when I first started bodybuilding, man, like Branch Warren, Phil Heath, Jay Cutler, again, found ways to monetize what they love, right? How the hell do you make money from bodybuilding? You know, that's awesome. Getting paid to train, it's freaking awesome, right? That's what got me into the gym in the first place. And then before that, I was really into my soccer, right? So looked up to a lot of pro soccer players, you know. Actually, I was a goalkeeper. One of my favorite goalkeepers ever was Iker Casillas. He's Spanish, and the guy was a beast. He played till he was like 42 years old. Animal. But I've always looked up to people in different respects, but in life, man, my dad. My dad is the GOAT. So like soccer, bodybuilding, food, business, whatever, like my dad's like my go-to guy. And I kind of just, I want to mimic what he does in life. In my eyes, he's a very successful man. He provided me a great life, my family, a great life. So to be fair, when it comes to role models, it's my dad at the top. And then depending on what realm of life, I have like people just below that.
That's an awesome answer, man. Yeah, I really like that answer there. You know, James, I only got about a minute left here, a minute and a half. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but sort of last quick two questions for you. Future plans, future challenges, what are you looking forward to this year? I know you mentioned Hungary, Germany, Japan coming up, but yeah, talk real quick about what you got prepared for the future.
Next weekend in DC, I'm defending my donut world record. I want to defend that title. I want to go top three at Nathan's. One day I want to win Nathan's. I promise you that I'm going to win one day. And then what's next for me? Obviously America, then Hungary, then Germany. Back to America to defend a few of my titles. And look, I'm currently ranked number 5. I want to get that top 3 spot.
That's awesome, man. I'll let you go ahead and shout out your social media handles, you know, your TikTok, Instagram right here, and I'll include links below.
Thank you. Look, search JWebby Can Eat on every platform. JWebby, JWebby Can Eat. It's all me.
Awesome, James. Well, last question here, and I really appreciate you taking the time, but you got to make it out to Croatia at some point. And if you had to do a food challenge over there, what would you do?
Well, it's got to be ćevapi, man. Like, I've had ćevapi lots. I just need the real stuff. And the lepinja, well, forget it.
Ooh, you're making me hungry right now, man. I'm going to go make some lunch or something. But James, awesome. Really appreciate you having you on, man.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.